Thank you, Lord, that your word is true. It's been tested, and you are trustworthy in all that you say and do. We are grateful, God, that we get to be again in your house with your people. As we open your word, soften our hearts to your truth and help us to know you better. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. From grumbling to singing is what Don thought it should be. But more often than not, we get these high moments. It's like something great has happened. Yay! And then just shortly after that, something bad happens, and we kind of do the swing just as the Israelites continued to do. They had been concerned about their safety, their freedom, and how would you like to live knowing that the Egyptians, who you just have looted, are kind of following you around and they're coming to get you. You'd have to kind of be looking over your shoulder the whole time, like one of those old westerns where somebody's on the lam and they're trying to live a life of normalcy, but they know that there's a past that's trying to catch up with them. And God made it very clear as they went through the Red Sea that you have come from death to life, that you are going through because I brought you through. And they're not going to be following you anymore, anywhere. That enemy that you thought you had, they're gone, they're done. You don't have to look over your shoulder anymore. Just look to God, look to the cloud, look to the pillar of fire. Follow the lead that Moses is giving in his godly words as he communicates with God and explains to you what the next step is. Just do it, because God's wanting to bring you not only out of death, but into life, into the land of Canaan, into the land flowing with milk and honey. And logically, it's like, okay, God, you are so good, you're so wonderful, let's just move on. And as we saw last week in chapter 14, you know, this was kind of exciting. They made it through. The Egyptians that were chasing them got befuddled because they couldn't fight with God. They didn't have to fight the Egyptians. The Israelites didn't. God did their fighting for him. And he made it so that their chariots were useless. They end up all dying in the sea as the water rolls back over them. And interesting that the next thing that we have in chapter 15 is like, okay, it's time for singing. It's time for rejoicing. It's kind of like in the New Testament, you know, that Jesus talks about if there's one lost sheep, you go out and you find it, and then you rejoice that you found the sheep. Or if there's a lost coin, you find it, you rejoice that there's this found coin. And we have a tendency to celebrate when good things happen. And I think that's a good tendency, that's a God-given tendency. Do we recognize when good things are happening in our life? Are we willing to just say, Lord, thank you so much. I praise you for this wonderful thing. Well, this is what happens in the song of Moses and then the song of Miriam. She kind of gets all the ladies together, and they're playing their little timbrels, and they're having a great time and singing and rejoicing. And a couple of the songs we just sang were that upbeat kind of, you know, we're just excited to be alive and God's good. And you know, so here we go in Exodus chapter 15. We're on page 105 in the Pew Bible if you're wanting to follow along, or it's also on the screen. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. Well, then it's like right after they got out of the Red Sea, the Egyptians were all sunk, and here it's like, wow, God, let's write a song and sing it. Or maybe it just spontaneously came to them. They didn't even have to think about writing it. I will sing to the Lord, for he's highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. Earlier in Exodus, we read that it was going to be God's right hand that led them out. of slavery. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Even today, as we look at what's going on in the world, there's different world powers that are kind of saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, sometimes it's the United States, sometimes it's China, sometimes it's Russia. Other countries, they come up with, this is what we're going to do. We're going to show this other nation, you know. Think, you know, you get North Korea wants to rattle their saber a bit to some too. And you know what? God is in control of all of that. And he's going to be able to be the one that puts all of us in his hand in the right way. Whether that's a hand of comfort or a hand of judgment, depending on our relationship with him. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. In case you hadn't picked up on it, this is a rhetorical question. There is no one like God. This is one of those statement questions. It's like, well, who is like you, Lord? Who's majestic in holiness? Who's awesome in glory, working wonders? No one else, God. It's only you. You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. At this point, they're recognizing God wants to bring them into a land, and they know that just the story that comes from all of the plagues, from the miraculous parting of the Red Sea, the closing off of the mighty army of Egypt, all of those things, when that word gets out that God is fighting battles for them, they know that all of these enemies are going to just melt away. You ever have in your heart where you just know that you're working towards the next step in your life is going to be triumph, everything's going to be good? Thank you, Lord. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? It's kind of exciting to think, okay, God has just rescued them in a miraculous way, and they're recognizing that, and they're attributing worth to the God who he is. It's just like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We lift up God's name. We want to revere and reverence him for who he is. But when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters and the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." And I'm sure that they kept on singing that for a long time. And they're walking along in the desert, and they go a ways. And it took them a few days to get to the next destination that's recorded. Now, I'm going to do a little aside here and talk about, you know, some praise or thanksgiving verses. There's so many of them in Scripture. I picked a very small selection. You can find lots and lots of verses in Scripture. Many of the Psalms are just praises to God for who he is. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You know, God likes it when we give him praise. He likes it when we do things for others. That's part of God's father attitude. I know as parents, we look and we watch our kids and it's like, wow, that they just said something nice about us, about our parenting or something. It's like that feels so good that they recognize that. And then to watch them treat others with kindness and dignity and care and respect, it's like, yes, we are so pleased that somehow we've been able to have a part in their lives and help them to be the people that they are. And I know God looks down and he's like, wow, those are my kids. In 1 Thessalonians, some very short verses, so 16 to 18 of chapter 5, rejoice always. That's a whole verse. Pray continually. That's another verse. You know, you can learn verses quickly. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The Israelites had just gone through the Red Sea. They watched the enemy be devoured by the same sea that they escaped from. And they're grateful. They're giving thanks. But our understanding of God's attitude is giving thanks in all circumstances, giving thanks continually, rejoicing always, always praying, always being in communication with God, keeping our eyes on his goodness and his truth, even when circumstances around us don't look so great. And that's unfortunately a message that the Israelites didn't quite have yet. It takes them time. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Just one of the many verses from the Psalms that talks about, you know, how we're going to treat God and his name. And yeah, we do it with song. We get excited when you're just overflowing. You oftentimes will break out in music. Sometimes an old song you may have heard or known as a child, or sometimes a new song that you're just making up as you go. It's kind of fun to just sing to God. Not always with other people listening, but, you know, it's fun. Psalm 100, another one of those. And it's a psalm for giving grateful praise. By the way, that the little headlines that you find in the Psalms, those are in the Hebrew too. So they're actually part of the psalm, even though they didn't get a verse number by them. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's the entirety of Psalm 100. It's a beautiful psalm, and it's one of those that it's like, yeah, should we be excited and praising God? Yes, of course. And we can sing to him, we can shout to him, making a joyful noise, all of those things. Here's another little song that Moses wrote. He didn't just write the song of Moses in Exodus 15, but in Deuteronomy there's a section here. It says, listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on the grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. And that's Deuteronomy 32. He's basically given the second law. He's explained everything to all the children of Israel, and he's going to go to his death, and they're going to get to go into the promised land at that time. And he's still singing praises, knowing how his life has worked out. So back to Exodus 15. We're on page 107 now at this time. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. That's probably why they call it a desert, right? It's like, okay, they left this kind of exciting emotional experience of getting through the Red Sea. That they're exuberant, they're singing, they're rejoicing, they're praising, and now they've walked for 3 days. Kind of like that snow globe, the little guy in the snow globe. It's like, okay, I finished all the shoveling. And then it's going to snow again on him when the guy shakes the globe. Or how many of us have lamented the fact that you can't keep your house clean because it doesn't matter how many times you clean it, it gets messy again. It gets dusty. It gets dirty. You have to vacuum. You have to dust. You have to, you know, and you do the dishes and everything's just right in its place and then you eat. And it's like life kind of has a way of wearing us down. I think sometimes the big experiences is like, wow, this is great. You know, and even a big bad thing, we can say, yeah, this will pass. It'll be okay. But the little bad things that kind of just wear at you. And they're traveling along, a couple million of them, all their livestock, the children, the women, everybody, they're walking along. And 3 days later into it, it's like they haven't found any water. That can't be a good thing. They're obviously, you know, worn down physically, emotionally, mentally, they're drained. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. They finally found some water, but it was not good water. It was going to make them sick, and they could die there. It's bitter water, and that is why the place is called Marah. That means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Okay, thanks a lot for bringing us out here. Thanks for all your leadership. You've left us to die of thirst. What are we going to drink? Giving thanks in all circumstances. Being willing to praise God in all situations. How many of us are probably closer to this? It's like, okay, this has been going on too long. When's it going to stop? I know, I feel that way. And it's just like, okay, but God has a plan, and God's plan is going to work, and it's going to be good, and can we trust Him? Well, do you think God had a plan for them here? They're walking along, no water. A little bit of a test, huh? Moses cried out to the Lord. It's always a good thing to do when you're in distress. Cry out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Or some translations, it showed him a tree. He threw it into the water. Takes this big log or piece of wood or tree or whatever it is, chucks it into this bitter water. And the water became fit to drink. I don't think this was sorcery or some kind of special tree that makes all bitter water clean. I think it's like, you know, God's saying, yeah, just do this. I've got a plan. The water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now God's saying, okay, I know you guys are grumbling, it's been 3 days without water, but that's nothing to me. Let's just take this chunk of wood and throw it into the bitter water and it becomes sweet. It becomes useful water. God can turn all things to good. And so He's like, this is a test for you. If you're willing to follow Me, you're not going to have to suffer all those diseases that the Egyptians had to suffer. You're not going to be stuck with all the plagues. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So they traveled along, and here's another beautiful place, an oasis in the desert. You know, God has got a plan for us too. If we continue in our praise and our singing and our thanksgiving, I think that's a good place to be. Can we be grateful in all circumstances as we're going through the desert with no water? Can we be excitedly grateful to God for who He is and whatever plan He's going to show us? It's like, hey, this is exciting, Lord. I'm really thirsty. I'm about to die. What are You going to do next? How is this going to be fixed, God? I trust you. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through the first part of 16, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I think it's important as we go forward to hold firmly to the word of life, to Jesus Christ himself. Now Moses wrote a lot of scripture, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books he wrote. But he also wrote something else in scripture, and that's Psalm 90. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, Psalm 90, it's the beginning of book four of the Psalms. It's kind of divided into different books. On page 913, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. God is eternal. Humans are not. And it's kind of interesting that you know, time is totally different picture with God. You know, 1,000 years. It's like a watch in the night. It's just like a shift on duty there. We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Interesting that he writes this because he was 80 when he started his ministry with releasing the Israelites from Egypt, and he lived to be 120. So always found this interesting that he's saying, yes, 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. You think sometimes Moses got depressed, felt a little down? They quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, we're so grateful for the message in Exodus of giving praise and thanks to you during the good times. But we also see, Lord, the caution when we begin to grumble, when we don't think things are going right or going our way, and we want to give you advice and tell you what to do. Lord, help us to even then be grateful and thankful in all circumstances, to turn to you, to trust you, to know you with our whole heart, and to recognize that you, Father God, are a good God, and you're going to find ways to even turn bitter waters to sweet, that you can turn very terrible things into good things, that you can make all things right in your wisdom and in your time. We're thankful, Lord God, for the fact that we can trust you. Amen.